This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Guardians of the MCU on the Random Chatter Network.
Hey Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 154. We're recording this on May 31, 2021. As a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise. I'm your host, Tim. Joining me tonight, two hosts, and they are...
I'm Sheba.
And I am John.
Fantastic. Let's see. So a couple of announcements here. Not so much network announcements, but really show announcements. First of all, a quick shout out to Samantha 15243. It's almost like a stormtrooper number. Samantha left us a very nice review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much, Samantha. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you taking the time to give us a review there. And we also encourage others to do the same. And you'll also get a shout out of whatever weird username you like to use. Also, we are trying a new show format. So what you are going to see this week is two episodes dropping, but they are shorter episodes. So basically our first episode is going to be news and maybe discussion if the news is short. And our second episode, which is going to come out later in the week, is going to be a character profile and maybe discussion piece in there. So discussion could end up in either one. Definitely news in the first one, definitely a profile in the second one. And in terms of when these things are going to drop, based on when I get to editing, either the news episode will drop late Monday or early Tuesday. And I'm going to shoot for a Thursday morning drop on the profile episode. So basically what we're going with is hearing a lot that a lot of people seem to like the shorter episodes, the shorter formats coincides with, you know, maybe walking the dog or their commute to work or something like that, making it kind of, you know, something a little more easily consumable or quickly consumable. But you're still getting the same content. You're just getting it split up into two episodes. That's all. Yeah. So please do let us know what you think about it. You know, you guys know how to get to us. So, yeah, let us know. With that, on to our news. So I think probably the big news for this week was that Okoye is going to get her own show on Disney Plus,
which I'm so excited about because number one, I love Okoye and I love Black Panther. I love the Dormammu. And if anybody did not know that, then now you do. I'm a big fan. I've cosplayed as a Dormammu and I will continuously do so. I'm very, very happy about seeing more of Okoye because she's fantastic. I remember just watching her in Black Panther and I was like, more please.
John.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to try to say any of the names because we all know I'm just going to mess all of that up, short format or not. I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier showed how well they can fit into the universe beyond what we've seen. I think doing a spy type thriller, a something where it kind of gets them out and about. I'm kind of thinking the A-Team, but with vibranium. Badass women. Yes. And so they're all, you know, they're BADM, BADM. Mm-hmm. Yep. Pointing it right here, folks, BADM. All they need is a van. That sounds awkward and creepy. No, they don't.
Yeah, maybe not a van.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We got to see with AO how well they're able to take folks from Wakanda, specifically the Dora Milaje, and move them around into different storylines and pull them out of Wakanda. And not that they have to, because Wakanda is an awesome place and they've done already some incredible world building there, and we would love to see more. But obviously I think any character staying in, you know, rooted in one place is a little less exciting. Now it is important to mention, Danai Gurira is going to be reprising the role. And it also, she also has been confirmed for, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. So, that's also, that was kind of also part of this big move.
I mean, I just assumed she was going to be in Black.
Yeah. It would have been weird.
Brown, I was like, oh, I assumed she was good.
Yeah. 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 I don't think it was a huge shocker that she's going to be in Wakanda Forever, but yeah. Let's see. Jack Schaefer, who was the head writer for WandaVision, she just signed a 3-year deal with Marvel Studios to continue doing Disney Plus projects. I'm really happy about it. I thought she did.
Yeah, given the success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She obviously did a really incredible job, especially, you know, and we've mentioned this before, for folks who, you know, maybe WandaVision didn't really do it for them because it had like this whole different genre TV thing and all that kind of stuff. And that's totally cool. That's understandable. I absolutely get it. But I think that folks, even if you really weren't fans of that, you can still appreciate a lot of the nuances of writing that took place mm-hmm. in this.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much that went into that. And we're just going to continue seeing this explosion of Disney Plus stuff. You know, and I think in a lot of ways it's, you know, initially it was kind of like, okay, the movies are going to be the anchor and they are going to be driving where the MCU is going to go, but and with the Disney Plus stuff kind of being the pieces in the middle, but it almost seems now, and maybe it just seems this way because we haven't had an MCU film in such a long time,
right?
But it almost feels like the Disney Plus stuff is really the driver, with the movies obviously still being significant because they're huge, huge events. But we're getting that, you know, just a condensed story within whatever, 2.5 hours in the cinema, but we're getting that nice long form storytelling, and these setups and all these nuances and tie togethers in the Disney Plus side. What do you guys think?
Yeah, especially with, we get a lot more, character development, I find, with some of the characters. We get to see more of them, especially with things like, WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. We got to see a lot more of the characters that were technically considered quote unquote side characters. They had their time in the spotlight. We got to know their backstories better. We got to, I mean, just instead of just a passing remark, we got to hear more about what happened, how they were dealing with personal issues, with loss, grief, you know, because in both shows, there were both of those elements there. So I really enjoyed being able to see all of that, because I loved them in the movies and I was like, these are some of my favorite characters, but I want more. And they were finally given that time and that space in their own respective shows. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. John, what thoughts do you have on this?
It's interesting. I actually had a conversation about this with my family yesterday, a bigger than for the past year kind of family reunion full of lots of vaccinated people and getting together. And we were talking about both movie theaters and Disney Plus and HBO Max and Paramount and all of the different ones. And I do think, and we've seen it and we've talked about it, that they've seen the success, both mm-hmm. the critical acclaim and quite honestly, the financial mm-hmm. of people going to their service for these type of shows. I'm all for series and shows that turn into 6-hour movies for us.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a reason why. What was it, Tim? $8.5 billion that Amazon just spent on MGM?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone is chasing the Disney Plus. They want that capstone series. Mm-hmm. They want the anchor that people come to.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we hit record of a year into the marriage, Esty and I are still trying to detangle some of our separate accounts and everything else and merge across. I watch right now The Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
That's it on Disney Plus. Yet, I'm not going to get rid of it anytime soon.
Right.
I don't know how much I pay for it per month off the top of my head. We've got like the bundle with Hulu.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. Meanwhile, yeah. There are plenty of other services that I'm in and I'm out. I pay for it to get that season or that show,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll drop it. I may come back, I may not, but I don't stick onto it. So they've got a recipe that works for keeping people like me engaged for one show. And I say there's a lot out there. And I know, Tim, you talk about it, and so do you, Sheba, and Lizzie does. There are people that use it a lot more than me and my family do. I only bring it up because I'm of the probably use it the least, yet it is not once do I look at it and go, ooh, maybe we cut back on that.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
So please give me more content so I'm getting more out of the app and the money.
And I've really appreciated, even when they've been releasing, because I watched Cruella over the weekend.
Cruella's freaking fantastic.
Thank
people.
You.
Okay. Yes, Tim texted me that too.
I thought you were going to say it's terrible. I was like, no, but I love it. But I just, it's probably one of my favorite, if not the favorite live action movie that I've seen from Disney so far, because I've watched all of them and I've been like, yeah, they're fine. It's fine. This is the one that I was like, this is how Disney, like, this is great. This is fantastic. I want to rewatch it again. A lot of them I'll watch it once and be like, all right, cool. I've watched it. It's fine. But what I was trying to say is that I do appreciate that they've been putting things on for premium access, and I don't mind paying for it because that's how much I would pay for a mm-hmm. movie.
Right.
And the fact that I get to watch it with multiple people and it stays on there. It's not like you just rented it once and that's it. It stays on there and you can watch it multiple times. So I really appreciate that. I'm sure it's not making no money. Who knows? I don't know. But I do really appreciate, like, I will pay the money, the extra money, because it's worth it for me at the end to watch it continuously.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to watch it with my entire family. So I don't know. I really appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I. Let's see. Spider-Man is apparently going to be connecting with Sony's Marvel films. Sony CEO said that there is a plan and it is going to be more clear to people when No Way Home premieres. Given kind of what we expect with some kind of multiverse thing with No Way Home, does this surprise you guys?
No, not really. I'm more just, it's not surprising. It's more like, I hope that Sony's doing a good enough job on their end to hold up to the quality of Marvel's end. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm like, how's this going to work? And I'm just curious to see what the other films are going to be like. Because, yeah. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but the first Venom movie was meh for me.
I love the first Venom movie. I thought it was fantastic. It was fun.
It was, I mean, it was a comedy. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it as a comedy, but what they had marketed as, it, like, they were like, it's going to be super scary and it's going to be dark. And I was like, all right. And I went to watch it and I was like, this is hilarious. As a comedy, it's great.
Yeah.
But what it was supposed to be, it wasn't. So in terms of that, it wasn't good in that sense. But if you market it, if they told me it was a comedy and I went in expecting that, I would have been like, oh, this is hilarious. But I don't know how else the other ones are going to, like, I'm hoping that it'll fit the same, because Marvel has a very, very high quality and Sony is trying to get to that quality. So mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to be once they all fit it together. I will see it and make it a judgment once I've seen it. But I'm just hoping that Sony keeps that the level. I hope they keep the Into the Spider-Verse level for their live action movies.
Yeah. John, do you think that the Sony Marvel characters are going to be in a different part of the multiverse, or would they actually be in the same reality that Spider-Man is in, thus in the same reality that the mainstream MCU is in?
I think we're going to see a combination. And I think that's where some of the touch points are going to happen as they delve more into it, because obviously Tom Holland's Peter Parker is, but with Toby and Andrew rumored as coming back, are they going to remain in different universes in the multiverse? Does Doc Ock move forward into this one? I mean, you mm-hmm. see both in comics and, for lack of a better example, you look at the Arrowverse and how they have multiverse characters come in and out from different universes. Mm-hmm. So we could definitely see that, and we could see that as they launch it with some of our more mainstream Marvel characters. Do they use that as a way to bring in Charlie Cox as Daredevil, and it's a nod to the Netflix show, but they can kind of start fresh? Do they use it to be able to do they use Charlie Cox as, you know, Daredevil in Far From Home, which,
right.
You know, has been rumored. And then, and again, folks, this is just using an example. This is not rumor or speculation. But then all of a sudden, Charlie Cox shows up as Scott Summers. And, you know, where they have that, well, yeah, in that universe, he was that, and then this one's he's someone else. Or a better example of, they could have, you know, showing, I think the best thing they're doing is showing the three Spider-Men that different people can be Peter Parker in different universes. So they can bring in a new Wolverine, and when people, Hugh Jackman, you're just reflecting him. No, Hugh Jackman, and they can even say, like, Hugh Jackman was the Wolverine on Earth 2179.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They can totally say that one still exists. It's just not mainstream MCU.
He's still out there. We didn't disrespect him. We didn't do anything. So, I mean, to me, this just opens up a huge amount for them to be able to play around, introduce new characters. I've heard folks, you know, even saying, giving some credit, good and bad, to the other Fantastic Four movies when they start with Fantastic Four, of just, you know, some level of acknowledgement. So to me, there's just, it's full of possibilities. And I think we're going to see characters go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty viable. Yeah. We do have a couple of other news items kind of connected to this. So first of all, In terms of No Way Home, we are actually expecting the trailer sometime in June. There's a lot of thought that it's going to appear before Sony's Peter Rabbit sequel, which is going to be in the theaters. So, of course, we'll have it on YouTube like soon afterwards. I think it's fairly easy to kind of gauge these things at this point because there are so few movies going on in the theaters that the studios don't have a whole lot of options in terms of where they run these things. So that's kind of what's expected. And Peter Rabbit 2, I think, comes out within the next couple of weeks. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. The other related news item here. So Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Here's another great example.
This is, we know him as the MCU's version of Quicksilver. He was in Age of Ultron. He died in Age of Ultron, and that's that. He has been cast by Sony as Kraven the Hunter. Kraven the Hunter is one of the next upcoming Sony movies in their Marvel setup. Kraven is a big nemesis of Spider-Man. Fairly interesting and deep character. I think the casting of this is pretty good. And quite honestly, we have had several actors and actresses who have played more than one role, even in the MCU proper. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, different looks, makeup, masks, whatever the case they may be doing with them, it's entirely possible and it's not really a problem. What do you guys think about this casting? What does this do to your brains?
I mean, I wasn't really expecting, I wasn't really expecting Aaron Taylor Johnson, mostly because I was trying to think of the background of the character because I couldn't remember Kraven's background. So I never really thought of Aaron Taylor Johnson. I wasn't really thinking of anybody, really, to be honest, but he was probably the furthest person I would have thought of. But I'm like, hey, I guess that's fine. I'm just going to see what happens at this point. I'm like, you know what? We'll see. I liked him as Quicksilver. So we'll see what happens. I'm not angry. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, having seen some of the drawings and renderings, as well as the little quip, bet you didn't see that coming. from Age of Ultron. He's going to have to get a little bit more, maybe some training sessions with The Rock to pack on some muscle. I think it's a fantastic casting. I don't generally get excited by the Spider-Man movies. Jared Leto as Morbius, some of the other ones, even the new Venom one, I'm like, I saw that. I want to see that movie.
It's the casting is fine for what it is. My only issue with it is that there's no reason why Kraven needs to be another white dude.
Well, see, that's what that was my main issue, really.
And again, it's not to say that the casting is bad, because I think it's a perfectly fine casting, but they're missing an opportunity here. It's just, there was no reason to keep that character as a white guy. They could have changed the race. They could have changed the gender. They could have done anything they wanted to with it. And they basically chose to stay exactly true to the comics, which, again, can be good. And on the other hand, there's an opportunity there. And in our next episode, in episode 155, we're going to have a discussion piece about casting that occurred a few years ago in an MCU movie. And so we'll talk about some of the nuances with that. Marvel Studios has finally acknowledged that Oscar Isaac has been cast as Moon Knight. This is what, 5 months later, 4 months, something like that.
A little too late there, Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. They put out a promo on social media with Oscar Isaac's face, and behind him is actually a lot of comic book panels from Moon Knight and all sorts of different things and different focal points and that kind of stuff, and really, really good representations of who Moon Knight is and what he is and what he's all about. And it has the tagline of "We are Moon Knight." And, you know, some people are going to say, oh, well, this kind of sounds like a Groot thing or almost like a Venom thing. You know, speaking of the Venom movie, but this also fits Moon Knight very well because the character has multiple personalities. And actually Moon Knight is one of those personalities. And the personalities are all aware of each other, and they're able to kind of switch on and off to the benefit of the character, the mission, the purpose, the whatever. That's how he is in the comic. So, I thought this was cool, and you guys know I'm a huge Moon Knight fan. So, it was just cool to see this. It was a cool promo. Yeah. You guys have any thoughts on it?
It just made me giggle because I was like, the news thing was, Oscar Isaac finally, you know, says that he's Moon Knight. And I was like, didn't we already know this?
Yeah.
So again, it was one of those things like, oh, we weren't supposed to know. Oh, okay. Well, I just assumed everyone knew already at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of waited a little too late there, Marvel. Like, hey, surprise. And everyone's like, we already know. It's like, yeah, when you go to a surprise birthday party and they're like, surprise. It's like, yeah, I already knew. That's what it seemed like.
That was the... I always thought I kind of was under the assumption that we all knew this already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did. Maybe Marvel just wasn't aware that we knew. I don't know. I don't know.
Silly Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've known for a while.
Weird stuff. Last couple items here for this episode. First of all, the Loki writer, Michael Waldron, was interviewed. He says that the series is going to have far-reaching consequences across the MCU. This is the stuff personally that I like to hear for these Disney Plus shows, you know, and I think that we've already seen, we can speculate what those far-reaching impacts are with WandaVision. We can very tangibly feel what they were from Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think it's great that we're going to get this for Loki as well. He was also teasing some potential connections between the Doctor Strange sequel, Multiverse of Madness, and the Loki series. And he would know because he's a writer for both.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, again, one more thing that's connecting back to Multiverse of Madness. Like, Multiverse of Madness is basically the phase four hub. And I think it's then going to be the thing that's going to send us in the phase five.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we probably, all of our Mephisto hopes and dreams, now we're just going to put to Multiverse of Madness. Is that what we're saying?
It was Mephisto all along.
Yeah. Oh, transfer it all there.
No.
Oh, nope. Does that mean we're gonna like go into like, does this have to do with multiverse? How will this affect what we're doing now? Because for WandaVision, I just don't know. Yeah.
And the answer to everything is the multiverse. How are they going to bring in mutants? Multiverse.
Multiverse.
What happened to Daredevil? Multiverse. How are we going to connect Moon Knight to Kraven? Multiverse.
There's just a big, you know, when you do you do brainstorming things, like it's just Multiverse of Madness and everything is just pointing towards it. Like, that's what everything is leading to now.
Yep. Which, you know, for the short term, that can be fun. And I think that provides them the opportunity to open up some doors to bring in previous characters that weren't part of the MCU before, to make that leap to introduce mutants as if they always existed because they have in another multiverse, that kind of, so they can address a lot of like continuity types of things with this, but I also don't want them to be lazy with it either. I don't want them to be, oh, well, hey, we have a dartboard. So we're going to throw our dart at the dartboard to get story ideas. But all the dartboard says is multiverse. I don't want that. It's fine for the next couple of years, and it's going to be fun to see those connections, but don't be lazy about it.
Yeah. And I don't think Marvel will do that. I mean, unless something happens and that they just get really tired.
I trust Kevin. I trust nowhere in there did I say I didn't trust Kevin.
Yep.
John?
I feel like they'll do an okay job there.
Yeah, I think it is can be a great tool and can be a lot of fun, but it could quickly become the shark that they're jumping.
Yeah. 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 When that's the only answer that they can come up with, I think that that's a challenge. And I agree with you, Sheba. I don't think that they will. I think they're going to get like this short-term mileage out of it. And then it's just going to kind of be an occasional thing. I don't want to see them close the door on it because that would be foolish. That's like killing off villains. But I also don't want it to be just like some constant thing that every episode of something or every series or every movie ties back to it.
Yeah.
The last bit here, Lego has released a Daily Bugle playset. This is 37, almost 3,800 pieces. It's going to retail for $300. It releases tomorrow, June 1. It's a cool playset. I still got to say, you know, comparing Star Wars Lego to Marvel Lego, Marvel is like light years behind.
Not as good.
Yeah. It's not there, and they have so many opportunities to do things, and I'm just not seeing them. But this set looks pretty cool. You know, it comes with a good amount of minifigs. Obviously, it's very Spider-Man centered. It's if you like it, go for it.
Tim, help me out. What are the ones we like with the really intense builds? That I've got Slave One. You've got a couple of them.
UCS Ultimate Collector Series.
Okay. Lego Ultimate Collector Series, something like a Hulkbuster, really big, intricate build.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean that's a no-brainer. Or I mean, and Marvel's Star Wars has done it with it kind of back and forths. Do one of like a Quinjet.
Yes. They do have a Quinjet set, and it's okay.
It's not great, but that's what I'm saying. Like, get the super detailed Ultimate one for things like that, like a super Milano detailed intricate Quinjet or like Hulkbuster. I'd be like, I'm in on that.
Yeah,
like I'd go and get those. Those would be fun to build.
Yeah.
Like they did with Hogwarts. Do Asgard.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be bonkers. That'd be crazy.
Jesus, how do people not pay us money for this?
I honestly, do they have an Avengers Tower yet still?
Yes.
They did. Again, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, okay. It's not great. It's not really big.
Like,
I mean, they have a hover carrier. They have a Milano. They have Quinjets, but they're not great. Yeah. And I don't know why they're missing this opportunity.
Jake had the Milano. That was a fun build. I will admit that was a pretty fun build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I even have fun with I've gotten a few little Star Wars ones that some of my students have given me for like Christmas or birthday presents. And like, they're so much fun. I just sat around there going, ooh, this is fun. Like, I have like a dark stormtrooper. I have like a couple of little like stormtrooper, like, you know, just little small sets with little like tiny fighter things. And I was like, these are fun. And like, I want to get like, they have like the Friends set with the couch and the cafe and like, a, you know, Central Perk. I'm like, those things are so cool. I want more Avengers stuff that are from like the sets that I can put together and then be like, look, it's part of the movie.
Yeah.
But there's not one that I've wanted to buy like that for any of the Marvel stuff yet.
Yeah, I agree. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up our news episode for the week. Thank you very much for joining us. Please do catch us in a few days for episode 155, which will be our first of the separate discussion and profile episodes. So we'll see you then. Thanks a lot.